It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer, and joining me tonight, special guest Liam Walker, who's an 11-year-old Georgia Bulldog fan. Actually plays middle linebacker for his local middle school team in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a lifelong fan. We've always wanted to bring on the opposition. We finally get our chance, and Liam Walker is stepping into the house tonight. All right, Liam, this is obviously a big game. It's night game, Notre Dame Stadium, big Jumbotron. Right now, looking at the schedule, is this the biggest game of the year for Georgia, or what is the biggest game?
I mean, Georgia, when they play Notre Dame, it's definitely their hardest non-conference game, along with playing at Georgia Tech. But they also have some in-game, a rivalry with Florida every year in Jacksonville, and then they play at Tennessee. But Notre Dame, for sure, is probably our hardest non-conference game because it is at Notre Dame at 7:30. It's never been that hard.
So is the biggest game of the year then for Georgia the Florida game? Is that generally what you guys look to as the biggest game?
I mean, if you consider it, we've lost for the past 3-4 years, and it's just that's the game that we need to win.
Yep, that's a big turning point. So surprisingly, and I'm hoping that you don't know anything about this, but the Vegas odds started out 3 weeks ago with Notre Dame as a 21-point underdog to Georgia. The Irish are now a 6.5-point favorite, at least the last time I looked. I haven't looked in the last couple days. But is that something that surprises you? Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised because Georgia did not blow out Appalachian State. They took out all of their starters in the fourth quarter, and Notre Dame just put the pedal to the metal all throughout the game and just completely crushed a Temple team that had no chance walking into that game.
Yeah, and obviously, and along with that, Georgia lost their starting quarterback. It's kind of a big deal. He was a 5-star recruit, very highly regarded, was going to probably be the second-best quarterback that we face all year long, and I would say a pretty close second to Sam Darnold. But the reality of the matter is he's not playing tomorrow night, and that's kind of a big deal. What do you think the chances are and how the freshman quarterback that's now playing from, how's he going to handle this kind of a situation? What do you think is going to happen in that first quarter?
I feel like that Jacob Eason, once he got injured, Jake Fromm went on 3 straight touchdown drives and started the game off, and it was 0-0. Jacob Eason hadn't scored yet, and they went all the way down the field, 3 straight drives, and scored a touchdown. And there were plays where he made plays where he would get pressured and he would make the throw, and he only missed 5 passes, a 10-15 ratio, which is pretty good for a true freshman who has never played a game in his life.
Yep. Now, one of the concerns, I think, from the Georgia standpoint is you guys have a pretty inexperienced offensive line. I mean, you got 2 freshmen that are playing that, I think it's 2. I mean, maybe you'd know better than me. But there's 2 freshmen that are playing, and it's going to be a bit tough for them to come into an environment like that and have that kind of weight thrown on their shoulders, knowing that probably the strength of Georgia is the backfield. There's no doubt about it. They probably have the best backfield in all of college America. So what are your thoughts on how that line of scrimmage battle is going to shape up tomorrow night?
I mean, the only reason why they're starting as 2 freshmen is because they proved that they could be good. They were very heavily recruited coming out of high school. They did decently well against Appalachian State. Notre Dame's defensive line isn't the best that we're going to face all year. And I just feel like this is their opportunity to show what they were made of and how highly recruited they are, even with the pressure that they have. I feel like that they can show up and push the zone run game.
Yep. What do you think, So, you know, obviously that's going to be one of the storylines of the game. Who controls the line of scrimmage? Just as you said, you've got young freshmen playing, but you're also going up against a defensive line that's probably one of the weaker points in the Notre Dame football arsenal this year. Therefore, where do you see the keys to this game, and what do you think translates into success for Georgia as far as a game plan that they're going up against Notre Dame?
I feel like that Georgia, in order for them to win, they have to show up and go down the field, receive the football, go down the field, and score a touchdown. And in order to do that, they have to spread between passing short passes like curls and slants and wide receiver screens with zone runs, halfback dives, and halfback tosses split between Nick Chubb and Sony Michel.
Now, do you think that a freshman who has taken over for a guy that wasn't supposed, he clearly wasn't supposed to be there, Eason got hurt, he's now injected in, it's now a totally different opponent than what he saw in Appalachian State. Are you kind of nervous a little bit about how he's going to react in a big game atmosphere like this? Does that guy get you concerned?
I mean, not really, because we did face one of the better group of five teams that you can face. I mean, even though we still paid them a lot of money, we played a better team that last year almost knocked off Tennessee, who ended the season 10-3, who also beat Georgia. Then they beat Michigan a few years ago.
Right.
So they have a pretty good program going for them, but they're definitely not a Power 5 team. Even though Notre Dame isn't one, they play teams on a daily basis, or
yeah,
a weekly basis, I should say.
So who do you think has the edge offensively, Georgia or Notre Dame?
I feel like if both of the teams play what they're fully capable of, I feel like Notre Dame might have a slight edge with their efficiency with throwing the football and running the football, but then also Georgia could spread it out and just completely confuse Notre Dame's defensive backs and linebackers with their zone coverage, and same for the Georgia defense.
Yeah. Now, Kirby Smart is a very good pedigree to him. You know, he obviously has just been a head coach now. He's in his second year. But he spent 15 years under the tutelage of Nick Saban. What have you seen so far, and do you think he's the kind of guy that can make key adjustments in a big game like this that might end up making the difference in the football game?
I feel like that I've known that Notre Dame has played Alabama multiple times. That under when they've played Nick Saban against Brian Kelly, and guess who the defense coordinator was?
Yep.
Kirby Smart. So Kirby Smart knows, it might not be the same playbook every year, but he knows that what he likes to do and what his tendencies are for passing the football or running the football. And Kirby Smart has faced this before. So I feel like that Kirby Smart is going to fool the Notre Dame quarterback with maybe some fake blitzes by the linebackers, dropping back into coverage, and maybe throwing an interception. I mean, he's a very good coach, especially on the defensive end, because, I mean, he won a championship and a few at Alabama.
As the defensive coordinator, that's right. So, certainly, I think that, you know, if you look at the game story that's kind of unfolding before us, pretty likely that it may not, you know, in terms of what's going to be success for Georgia, it's probably going to need to be a low-scoring game. Would you agree with that?
For Georgia's case, I feel like they need it to be low-scoring because we have no idea what Jake Fromm is going to show up and do. What if he throws four interceptions and goes 5-for-20? We need a running game and our defense to step up. So this game is either going to be a dog pound or it's going to be just a shootout. It matters how the quarterbacks show up.
Yep. And would you agree that the shootout is probably going to favor Notre Dame?
I mean, possibly, because if it is a shootout, offensively, Notre Dame has the better offense. But defensively, Georgia obviously has a better defense. I mean, they allowed 0 points through three quarters, then put in their second and third string players with Appalachian State's first string and only allowed 10 points in the whole fourth quarter. So, I mean, like, in order for them to win, if this is a shootout, Georgia has a probability of, they have very athletic wide receivers, they have very good tailbacks, and they have always just had an average or a little bit better than average quarterback, except for these past few years with Jacob Eason. And since he's hurt, we have no idea what Jake Fromm is going to do. But what Georgia's defense needs to do is they need to step up and just play deep.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say you're the opposing coach. You're Kirby Smart, and you're stepping into this situation knowing that you're shorthanded now. You don't have your starting quarterback. You're looking at Notre Dame, and you're wanting to try and figure out and anticipate what the game plan is that they're going to put together to find success against you. What is your best guess as to what you think Notre Dame's going to do tomorrow night?
I saw a lot of draw plays and a lot of inside zone runs run from Notre Dame's offensive
scheme for the game. Yeah.
Yes.
Again, I mean, like, so did you, there's a big question to ask. Did you watch the Notre Dame Temple game?
Yes. And I saw that there were three running backs who made ridiculously long runs for three running backs. I feel like that if they're going to run the exact same play and run it just straight up the middle or in the three hole or the two hole, and it works so well, there has to be something that goes on.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. Well, you know, again, I think that it's going to be an interesting game from the standpoint that the both teams have some strengths and both teams obviously have some weaknesses at this point in the year. Notre Dame's strength would be the offensive side of the ball, right?
Yes.
You've got Wimbush, who was kind of a question mark going in and had a fairly pretty good game against Temple. I mean, I think he showed some of his star power as to what he brings to the table. He's a dual threat quarterback. He puts a lot of pressure on the defense when he can rush. And certainly if Wimbush has 75 to anywhere between 75 to 100 yards rushing for the game, that's going to be a problem. The reason that's going to be a problem is because it puts a lot of pressure on the defense to stay honest and not to guess or lean a particular way, knowing that Notre Dame might be, you know, leaning towards throwing the ball a lot. The reality of the matter is a dual threat quarterback is that luxury that keeps everybody at base. You can't be shifting guys around knowing that he can easily pull it and run out to the wide side. That being the case, in my mind, I can see Notre Dame trying to open it up early and keep Georgia at bay with having to defend several fronts, right?
Yes.
The key to that would be the throwing. In my mind, it's going to be the passing game for Wimbush. Wimbush is going to have to be able to get the ball out there to the wideouts so that he can free himself up inside the box to be able to do some of the read runs that they do out of the shotgun. What is the linebacker play? To defend that, Georgia is going to have some solid tackling out of their linebacker core. What does that linebacking core look like this year, and what are your thoughts on how they'll do tomorrow night?
So I feel like that in order for Georgia to win, they have to stop the mobility of the quarterback. Every year, I feel like for the past 4 or 5 years, Georgia has lost every single game where they've played a dual-threat quarterback. It's been very, very close, but there's only been one game that they've won, and that was against Georia Tech.
Yep.
And
Georgia Tech, who runs the triple option. Right. So there's, now in that regard, I think you could argue that the triple option might be more of the pressing issue at hand, simply because it's so difficult to defend that when you've only got it a week to prepare, right? But in the case of a dual threat, you're in essence following the first read, and a lot of times the quarterback will stick it in the running back's gut, but then pull it out and run to the opposite side.
Exactly.
The play of your linebackers is key, because if they cannot get sucked in on those, and generally speaking, the way that they prevent not getting sucked in is they got to be able to stop up front. Defensive line has got to be able to make some stops early on, because if they don't, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on those linebackers. Who are the linebackers that Georgia has, and how strong do you think that linebacking core is in relation to the overall defense of Georgia?
I feel like this is probably one of our better linebacking cores in the past few years. We have a person named DeAndre Patrick, and he is number 6, and he plays middle linebacker. And last year, he started off the year not starting, and in the end of the year, he was just, he had such a high motor that he would be making plays in the backfield with a halfback toss, and he's playing middle linebacker on the opposite side. I mean, this guy is a freak, and he's just such raw talent. And what Kirby Smart has done to this linebacking core is he's made them so much more disciplined than Mark Richt ever did. When I was watching the Appalachian State game, the linebackers would, instead of taking the fake and going after the running back when it was a play-action pass, they read the fake, and then they dropped back into coverage, which had probably had a 5% chance of happening every single time they did that with Mark Richt.
Yep. Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, Georgia over the last few years has kind of suffered some key losses. Probably was part of the reason why Mark Richt was ultimately showed the door. There were just too many of the big games that they just didn't win when it all came down to it. They're always competitive, always in it, but just couldn't seem to pull it out at the last minute. Now, the interesting dynamic with this game is you've got a very precarious situation on the other side with Notre Dame. Brian Kelly's coming off a 4-8 season last year. Lots of pressure. You know, you mentioned this isn't the biggest game of the year for Georgia, but in terms of who's in a more desperate situation as a must-win, there's probably a lot of argument that it's actually Notre Dame and Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly needs to establish some momentum moving forward, and therefore there's a lot of pressure on him with this particular game, because certainly a win tomorrow night against a highly ranked Georgia football team will help dispel and push aside a lot of the angst that's coming from the Notre Dame fan community on this. Do you think that matters much when it all comes down to it, that this is maybe a little bit bigger of a game for Notre Dame than it is Georgia?
I feel like that you're right on that, but then again, there are things that are going on with Georgia that they've never played at Notre Dame. They've never played a regular season against Notre Dame. And Kirby Smart will probably bring some intensity to this game, so Georgia can get hyped up and everything. They just need to show up and play.
Yep. Yeah.
Notre Dame is guaranteed going to show up and play, almost.
You would hope so, being at a night game at Notre Dame Stadium, all the renovations that were done. You got the Jumbotron for the first time. The crowd's going to be in it. This is a big game. One of the surprising things that we might find out tomorrow is how many red shirts are in the stadium. You're obviously here for the game. We're sitting here in South Bend, Indiana, doing this podcast. Your family's here. You got a bunch of Georgia fans going. About 8,400 tickets were sold, and that's just on the ticket allotment. You then have a bunch of fans showing up who are trying to scalp tickets to get in the game. And there could be a pretty decent representation from Georgia in that stadium, as much as possibly even somewhere between 6 to 10% of the stadium is going to be for Georgia. What are your thoughts on what you anticipate the final score is going to be? If you had to be put on the hot spot here, what's your prediction as to what you think the final score is going to end up being?
I think that even though I like Georgia, I feel like that Notre Dame will pull this out 30-26.
Well, I appreciate the honesty there, Liam. That's tough to do, because when I was your age, I don't know that I ever said that Notre Dame was going to lose a football game. but I think, you know, in light of the situation, it kind of somewhat makes sense going into it. You got the Vegas odd makers saying that it's going to be that. You got the unfortunate situation with Georgia losing their quarterback. I mean, I certainly think that this would be a much different discussion if Eason was playing. It's unfortunate, but that's college football. That happens.
I mean, the keys for Georgia is if our freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm, can show up and feel the pressure and be able to be mature in the situation, and he can play really well, then we will win this football game because he will balance the ball out with throwing the ball and running the ball.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you 100% there. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to think it's going to be maybe a little bit less, but more like 27-24, the Irish. And I suspect that it'll be a good game all throughout, including in doubt in the fourth quarter. But being that it's home, it's a night game, a lot of momentum in Notre Dame's favor, the injury to the quarterback. To me, I kind of see where this game's headed, and that's what it's going to end up being.
But it could also be another Brett Favre situation where we all know what happened to the Green Bay Packers when they lost their starting quarterback, and then Brett Favre came in and led them to playoffs.
You just never know. That's exactly right. College football is a funny game, and you just never know who's going to show up and who in that ultimate moment of adversity, how do they respond? And I think we're going to find out tomorrow. Looking forward to a great game. I'm certainly glad you did this. Liam, I want to tell you that I'm really impressed with you doing this show. You did a very nice job. I'm sure we'll get some real positive comments from the Notre Dame fan community, and it was a pleasure doing this show with you. Okay. Absolutely, thanks for doing this. All right, fans, we're going to leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. And for this time around, we actually got the opposing side's perspective. So from that, we hope to do this. If there's any other fans out there that are listening that are opponents, please reach out to us. We'd like to have you on the show, info@domeanddomer.com. Send us an email, and we'll consider bringing you on. For Liam Walker, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.